Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome in at this time from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Mike DeFabo joining us here on that fan hotline. Mike, good morning to you. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. How you doing?
We're great. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you a lot during this hockey season. We're excited that it is hockey season. Okay, so should our takeaway be being excited about that third line and how well they played, and man, they were good the other night, or what the heck is going on with Matheson, or should we temper all of that and say, let's see what happens tonight with both things?
Probably let's see what happens, but you're absolutely right. It was really a mixed bag for the newcomers for the Penguins. They went out and they acquired a lot of new pieces this offseason. And Mark Jankowski started the scoring. A guy that scored just 5 goals all of last season, scored the first goal in the NHL. And, you know, there's a lot of question about which is the third line for the Penguins. Is it the Teddy Bluger line, which I thought would be the third line, or is it going to be the Mark Jankowski line? And when they moved Brandon Tanev up to that third line, those two guys, those Providence guys who played college hockey together, they ended up finding a little chemistry. So that was the bright spot for the Penguins. Jankowski scored 1 goal, and then he had a beautiful feed for an assist for a second one. But then, as you're mentioning, the other newcomer, Mike Matheson, he certainly had a rough showing for the Penguins. And my whole thing with him is, you know, they brought him in. He was a guy that was a healthy scratch the last 2 playoff games for the Florida Panthers. He had 6 practices with the Penguins. You didn't think you were going to fix this guy in 6 practices. They're making a more long-term commitment to this guy and a longer-term bet. So let's give this guy a little bit of time. You know, let's give Todd Reirden and the Penguins staff an opportunity to really do their magic on him and see if he can really truly succeed in Mike Sullivan's system. But it really was a mixed bag for those newcomers.
Yeah, Mike, I'm trying to preach patience to myself every time I see Matheson out there, and he was out there for 3 goals out of the first 4 and in the box for the other against the Flyers on Wednesday night. And I'm trying to preach patience to myself, but then I see them elevate him. You mentioned only 6 practices at the end of training camp to play on that second pairing with John Marino, and the adjustment to put Tanev with Jankowski, as you pointed out, that is the bright spot in Wednesday night's opener. But now the other side of that coin is that another tweak that they made late in training camp, putting Matheson with Marino and dropping Pettersson down with CeCe, didn't seem to really give them what they were looking for. Marino even looking out of place, the first time I've seen him look that out of place on one of the Flyers' goals late, where Matheson also chased the puck behind the net. Do you think Mike Sullivan is going to be quicker or slower with changes and tweaks early in this season, given that it's a 56-game in-division sprint?
Yeah, we'll see. You know, Mike Sullivan is never hesitant to make changes, specifically as it relates to Matheson playing with Marino. I actually like the idea of it, even if it didn't work the first night, because John Marino made everybody he played with last year look good. Like, Jack Johnson was a good hockey player next to John Marino. Like, you can look at his advanced stats. I know that's a big thing with Jack Johnson, is they harped on him and how bad his advanced stats were. Like, his Corsi 4 and his expected goals and all those advanced metrics were positive metrics next to John Marino. So I like the idea of, like, Mike Matheson talked to us in training camp about his confidence was wavering. He didn't feel confident in himself. If you hear a guy that you've made a 6-year, $29 million commitment to say he's not confident, I would put him next to your best defenseman, which is John Marino at this point. So I think it makes a lot of sense. And stylistically, I think it makes sense, because both of those guys are very mobile. And if you do want Mike Matheson to play to his strengths, and you do want to take advantage of what he is good at and maximize that. You know, mobility is a big piece of that, and John Marino's another mobile guy. So I think they'll give it another shot probably tonight. And, you know, if we find it doesn't work, Mike Sullivan is never hesitant to make a change. So I don't think he'll stick with it too long if it's not working out.
You know, Mike, as you were talking, I was actually thinking of that Zoom call with Matheson where he admitted that how his confidence had wavered. And I'm thinking, well, how much is his confidence wavering right now after what happened the other night? I know Marino said, you know, here's a young guy who's in his, what, going into his second year in the league saying how, well, you know, I have to help him. We have to help him. But is Matheson's confidence, can he get it back after a game like that?
Yeah, it was a tough one, but it wasn't all bad for him. You know, if you're looking for it, you could pin the first four goals on him directly or indirectly. But at the same time, you know, there's other guys on the ice. There's a goalie there that can make a save. So, you know, seeing a puck go in the net can change your confidence, or winning a game can change your confidence. All those things are going to be important for the Penguins. And, you know, as I mentioned, you're not going to fix this guy in six practices. This is a longer-term commitment. I think it's fair to give this guy a little bit of a time before we completely write him off here in Pittsburgh.
Mike DeFabo, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, joining us here, Fan Morning Show, to talk Penguins. Follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Jim Shorkey Kia, Wexford, North Huntington, Uniontown, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Visit at ShorkeyKia.com. Okay, so Tristan Jarry, it's an interesting study in that it goes way, way back, but he's lost the last six times he's taken the net. They're really broken up. They're from a calendar standpoint, way back, but they're six times in a row. I'd like to see him get a win tonight. How is the goalie situation templated out right now between the two? And is there any common theme with Jarry in so much as, well, he just hasn't won in a long time?
Yeah, in terms of, like, the workload and the distribution of work for the Penguins goaltenders, as Jim knows, you can ask Mike Sullivan about this, and he will never give you a direct answer. However, if you look back to last season, Matt Murray started almost every game to start. Like Tristan Jarry was the least used backup in the league. Matt Murray was on pace to start more games than any other goalie. So I would assume that they have the same kind of philosophy. They don't have a lot of back-to-backs. So I would expect him to get the start tonight. In terms of his play, you're absolutely right. You know, it's dating back to last year, the second half, we had the whole Matt Murray versus Tristan Jarry debate for a reason, because neither guy really asserted themselves and proved that they were the number one goalie. So it would be good for Jarry to get a win here and to have a good showing. I actually thought that early on he was sharp, and through training camp he was very sharp. I think he let in like one goal during a shootout, and other than that he was perfect in the scrimmages. Like he was, so the performance that we saw the other night actually really surprised me. So I would expect him to bounce back, but this is just one of the tests as a number one goalie. If you're the backup, you're getting a spot start, and then you're, you know, the starter right now is stepping in right now, and you don't have to worry about it. But part of being the number one goalie means you have to play injured sometimes, you have to play tired sometimes, and you have to play after a bad start, and you have to be mentally strong. And that's going to be the test tonight. How do you bounce back after not the best performance on opening night?
How do you think the dynamic behind the scenes has changed with Todd Reirden back in the fold and Gonchar and Martin pushed out the door this summer, Mike? Because I know we all know Gonchar had a really good relationship with Malkin, and Martin was sometimes the Letang whisperer because they were both francophones, and they could speak to each other honestly sometimes in the heat of battle. But how does Reirden coming back in maybe get some of those older guys who've already had a couple runs at the cup to refocus on what needs to be done to get back there?
Yeah, the one thing that's really interesting to me in terms of the Penguins' assistants is they brought in two new assistants this offseason, but they're not really new to the organization in the sense that Todd Reirden knows the veterans very well. He was here from 2010 to 2014. He has a great relationship with Chris Letang. Like, anytime you ask Chris Letang about Todd Reirden, he lights up. Like, he loves the guy. And then Mike Vellucci, on the other hand, while Todd Reirden knows the veterans, Mike Bellucci knows the newcomers and knows the prospects, having been in the organization as the Wilkes-Barre Scranton head coach last season. So I think that's a really interesting dynamic where they made this change, but it's really not a major change. And I think specifically the relationship, I think Todd Reirden has one of the most important jobs on the team. You know, if you were to say what were the reasons why the Penguins lost in the playoffs last year, you would say their third defensive pairing was trash and their power play was trash. And that's Todd Reirden's job. It's like, okay, here, Todd, fix the power play. Here, Todd, make sure that you get John Marino to the next level. Here, Todd, make sure that you get Mike Matheson fixed. Here, Todd, make sure that Chris Letang doesn't keep turning the puck over. Here, Todd, here's Cody Ceci, who has horrible advanced metrics. Make sure that you make him good. Like, they're putting a lot on this guy's plate in terms of handling the blue line and also the power play. Those are two of the biggest questions for the Penguins. And those are two of the main responsibilities for Todd Reirden. So, you know, I think that he is a very good coach. I think that he's done it before, but he's going to have as much of a say as anybody else in terms of how this Penguins season shakes out.
Mike, you just put more pressure on Reirden than he had when he followed Barry Trotz after Trotz had just won the Stanley Cup. But if we're going to pick on Matheson, let's pick on Gino a little bit here. Because we saw him last year when they resumed and they had their little mini training camp before the bubble, and Gino was great. You know, Malkin, he was great. And then he disappeared in the Montreal series. He wasn't good at all. And then, I know, small sample size, but he was so good the last week and a half in the Penguins practices and scrimmages. And then all of a sudden, the other night, he wasn't very good at all. Like, that can't continue, can it?
No, it's tough because, like, I've written about it and talked about it on the radio about how good Malkin's looked, and then he goes out and has that, and people are like, what's wrong with you? Don't you know hockey? But the thing with Malkin that kind of surprises me is when you talk to his teammates, he's a guy that can't, while everybody else is, like, breaking in new skates and rusty, he's a guy that can just, like, jump off the street and look sharp. I've heard teammates talk about that before where Sid is the opposite. Sid is the guy that's like the perfectionist that puts in the 1,000 hours it takes to be at his absolute best, and he's good because he practices all the time. Whereas Malkin is just this natural guy that's instinctive and creative. So it does surprise me in a shortened training camp. If anything, I would expect Malkin to shine, and I do have a lot of optimism for his line. I think that he has more speed on his wings than I think he maybe ever has. And that should open up more space for him to be more creative and use his abilities to his advantage. So it actually very much surprises me when he doesn't perform well early in the season. But I still have optimism for that line. I think that line could be one of the best second lines in all of hockey. I really do. And they didn't show it last night or two nights ago, whatever it was.
They all run together once you get into the season, yes. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. What day are we on right now?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. They're all Tuesdays.
I know.
Exactly. It's always game day.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Always game day. But exactly. I think eventually that line has some promise and reasons for optimism.
Last thing for you before we let you go, Mike DeFabo joining us here, Pittsburgh Post Gazette. What do you think Marcus Pettersson is, and what does the organization think Marcus Pettersson is?
You know, that's a really good question. So going into last season, basically Marcus Pettersson took one for the team where they wanted and he deserved a contract extension. However, he played on just a one-year deal with like a little bit of a wink-wink handshake agreement that they would make it up to him eventually. And then they did in the middle of last season by signing him to this contract extension. And, you know, I don't know that he hasn't been great. He's one of the nicest guys in the locker room, and it's tough to criticize him because of that, but he's been okay. He's been steady, but not great. So right now they have him on the third pair, and I think that's more so about trying to get Mike Matheson right than it says about Pettersson. But, you know, I'm curious to see how his season unfolds because he's not a guy that's going to score a bunch of goals for you. He's not a guy that's going to show a bunch of offensive upside. So he needs to be a steady defensive guy. And playing on that third pair next to Cody Ceci, he's in a tough spot because Cody Ceci has his warts and has his issues. So I think this is a big year for him, especially with the fact that another lefty in P.O. Joseph that's been talked a lot about is kind of knocking on the door in the NHL. So they're going to have to make some kind of a move in order to get P.O. Joseph playing time eventually, whether it's this year, whether it's next year. And, I wonder whether Pettersson might be one of those options in terms of moving a left-handed defenseman to open the door for P.O. Joseph down the road.
Mike DeFabo, I hope you're prepared to join us sporadically or even more than that this hockey season, because we're going to have you. At least we're going to call. If you pick up, you're going to talk to us. How do you feel about that, Mike?
Hey, just give me – cold call me anytime. Yeah. Like if I'm not walking my dog, I'll pick up.
Careful what you wish for, Mike.
Free show. Yes, you better hope Zeiss isn't listening, because he'll call anybody. I've heard guests on his show. I don't even know if they know if they're in Pittsburgh. I don't even know if they know who they are. So be careful with saying that. Thank you, Mike. We'll talk soon.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Mike DeFabo. One of the good guys, Jim, huh? One of the really good guys. And I like young journalists that are working hard to cover a team, and that's exactly what Mike is. Good on him, really. And he covers the Penguins. Yeah.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.